This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And in the spirit of the season, happy Festivus, everybody.
Yes.
Happy Festivus, everyone.
It's Christmas Eve.
You're with Kaz, Sonia, and Albert.
Yes. We've got three people speaking tonight.
It's nice to have you on the show. Albert usually works... Albert usually works behind the scenes on Sci-Fi and Scream, working on our panel and producing the show.
I thought we'd spread the joy a bit tonight.
Spread the joy. It's a Festivus miracle tonight Albert has joined us.
Trinity.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we'll go there.
Don't speak into my ear, okay?
Oh, so we would perch on your shoulder?
No.
I'll be in your left.
You can be the good angel. I'll be the devil. We're not really into celebrating Christmas.
No.
On Sci-Fi and Scream.
Too much.
Or Hanukkah, really.
No, Hanukkah. No.
Hanukkah. I think we're going to go with Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes.
This season. Tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream, we're going to play some festive tunes. It's been par for the course on Joy for the past few days. But we're also going to look into the origins of this crazy Festivus festival that's on every year. And we're going to keep it light tonight. We're going to look at spoofs on horror and sci-fi and some of the comedy films that have also
things
been made on
the genre.
Things
that tickle your funny bone.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we hope that your night has been well and you haven't been bombarded by Christmas carols. You got all your shopping done.
Yeah, and you haven't had visitations from angels coming trick-or-treating at your door or
yeah, and we'll be here if you need to complain, need to whinge a little bit.
Absolutely. Have a whinge to us. You can SMS us on 0427 joy949 or email on air at joy.org.au. We're talking about Festivus tonight. Not really a Christmas sort of group, are we? Not really a Hanukkah, Kwanzaa,
not a
Eid festival.
Bunch of people.
Bonsai worshipping.
No, not really. So Festivus is kind of the holiday that that suits everybody who doesn't feel like they fit into those categories, really. The idea first came from a writer whose name was Dan O'Keefe, and it was kind of introduced into the public consciousness by his son, Daniel, who is actually a screenwriter for Seinfeld. In the 1997 episode The Strike, Frank Costanza, the father of George, tells the story of how the idea came to him while he was fighting over the last toy in a store in a fit of late Christmas shopping. Who hasn't been there?
No.
And who hasn't seen the craziness? I have. I've seen the craziness that happened.
I went to
in
Toys R Us
shopping.
Once.
And it and continues it past Christmas. Sick. It's probably even worse on Boxing Day, I find.
That's why it's called Boxing Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was that
jingle. You want to punch people.
Oh, I'm well at that point by Boxing Day. I think that was a Jingle All the Way, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he's.
Was it Action
in
Toy? What was
it? Mega Man or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's basically where Festivus was born. Frank was stuck in that kind of situation and it inspired him to come up with Festivus. Festivus beats out Christmas by a couple of days. It's usually celebrated on December 23. And it has its own traditions, which I personally think beat out the old ways
of
gift giving. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Oh, but if you've been bad, you get a block of coal and a sock.
Whether you've been good.
That's the traditional.
Well, that's what I like about Festivus, because whether you've been good or bad, you're going to cop.
You should always
get
a block of coal.
Yeah, everyone's on a level playing field.
They really are. There's no. If you've been good, you can't expect to get good things unless you get a Festivus miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And Festivus miracles are usually the same kind of mundane crap that people always mistake for miracles. You know, you might be thinking about a friend and run into them on your way to
Mary
the library
McCullough,
or something.
Maybe. Comes down the chimney?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Probably.
Her
miracles,
she just got approved, didn't she?
Yes.
Just
to
before
become a
Christmas.
Saint.
She's been carbonated.
She's been beatified,
or
I think.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Beatified.
Beatified.
And
I always thought it was beatified.
I have no idea.
It's beatified. You're probably right.
So with Festivus, there are no saints in there's no religion really. Instead of a tree, you raise an aluminium Festivus pole, and it doesn't require any decoration.
No decoration, and it's renowned for its high strength and low weight.
That's it. Yes. The ratio there is very good, and I think that's a very practical choice.
Yes.
In these troubling times, no decoration. Frank Costanza actually said he found tinsel distracting.
Yes.
Which.
It is. If the light shines on it in a certain way,
all that
rapidly, it could actually bring on a seizure.
Could give someone
fear
a seizure.
Of seizures. Too many.
I get shocked.
Flickering
seizures
lights.
This time of year.
Flickering lights and flashing tinsel,
flashing credit cards.
So on the day of Festivus itself, you sit down to a Festivus meal of meatloaf and cake.
Oh, I love meatloaf.
Do you like cake decorated with M&Ms? Because that's part of the Festivus meal as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
After the meal is served, the celebration of Festivus really begins with the practice of airing of grievances
and doonas.
This
and rugs
and rugs and beat out the rugs.
That's the beatifying part of it.
You beatify those rugs.
Could get Mary's face on it.
Airing of grievances is one of those. It could. Could be the shroud of or the rug.
Then you never want to wash it again.
Yes. It appears on toast, on tree stumps.
Yeah.
It may as well appear on somebody's rug at home because it makes
after
about as much
Christmas
sense.
Eve.
Yeah.
Urine stains.
But red wine.
Yeah, red wine.
Red wine.
So if you wanted to partake in airing of grievances, you can just tell the people around you about how they and the world
have
disappointed
really
you over the years. Mm. And then once you've done that and you've enjoyed your Festivus meal of meatloaf, you can perform the feats of strength, which involves the head of the household.
The throwing of the meatloaf.
Challenging someone to a wrestling match. And Festivus does not officially end until the head of the household has been pinned.
Yes, pinned so with everyone has spikes. to have their go. I mean, the head of the household chooses that person.
Someone. Yep.
Chooses that person.
And then you have a wrestling match and you have to pin the head of the household. And that sounds fair to me. That's a very, equal way.
Do you pin the head?
I think so.
It's like a wrestling match.
It's like a wrestling match.
The actual head.
The head as well as the head of the head.
The head of the head of the household.
Head of the table. Yes. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, this
quite
might
Christian.
Sound...
It's quite Christian, that.
I'm sure it's got pagan origins, just like Christmas does.
Like Christianity does.
And the thing is, it's funny to talk about Festivus, and you can see where it came from, its sort of origins of Seinfeld. Oh. But it started, there's a family that actually practiced it, and it came through in Seinfeld. But it's getting harder to ignore. There's actually a company in Wisconsin, in the USA.
Love Wisconsin. They have lakes, lots of lovely lakes there.
They also have a factory that manufactures aluminium Festivus poles. And they started in 2005, I think, and they're still making them and doing quite well.
Can you get them on
it.
eBay?
I don't know, but you can go to their website and get them as well. You can order them from there. And you can get Festivus cards. People have Festivus pub crawls over the month. And in the year 2008, a neighbourhood in Washington, D.C. allowed an airing of grievances notice board. And then the town crier wore a jester's hat and announced them in the streets.
Oh,
which
now it's spreading. It's spreading like a bad disease.
It really is. You don't get a better. I mean, you can vent to friends and family, but when you get the town crier on your side,
do they have stocks as well? You can put
probably
people you don't like in them and
lock
then
them
pin
up.
Their head.
That could be the new Festivus
with
tradition.
A pole on the end of a pole.
I won't go there.
we've got a festive track for you.
Yes,
coming
we
up,
do.
It's actually by an American cabaret performer by the name of Joel Kapishki, and he's done a song called "O Festivus." So we're just going to play that
does
through
he
for
do
you.
Do that with a pole?
Maybe he does involve a pole in the act. Here's Joel Kapishki. Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream. That was "O Festivus" by Joel Kapishki, who is an American cabaret singer, and that was his little ditty to celebrate Festivus, which comes around on the 23rd of December
sounds
every year.
Sounds very American. It sounds like the
anthem. Yeah,
yeah. They've got two, haven't they?
Star-Spangled Banner.
Star-Spangled Banger.
Star-Spangled Banger. That's something.
That's a sausage with stars
different.
And stripes on it.
Yeah, it kind of got mixed up with "God Save the Queen" and.
Yeah.
Mixing UK, US. Yeah.
They're usurpers of the crown.
Oh, I know. And we're still loyal monarchists.
Yay. Yes. Love queens.
Go the Queen.
So, yeah, and we've got next, Sonia, we've got talking about...
Fanboys.
Fanboys.
Released on DVD earlier this month, actually. Two-disc special editions. So what's it about? Well, it's 1998. That's the time it's set, this actual movie. And the impending release of, after a 15-year wait, of the Star Wars film Phantom Menace. That's the base for the plot from which it runs. Fanboys is basically a geek road trip movie. It has the synopsis of one nerd who is unfortunately dying from cancer, and his life on the planet Earth is only brief, like he has 4 months to live. Unfortunately, the issue is that Phantom Menace, or Star Wars number one, is due for release in 6 months, so he probably won't make it. And his friends on Halloween decide to take a road trip to go to the Skywalker Ranch, and they're hoping that by gate crashing the Skywalker Ranch, they'll be able to view, before anyone else, the Phantom Menace. Now, how they do this is through a terrible custom van, which is so dilapidated.
Like the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo?
Similar to that, yeah, not as pretty.
Not as colourful.
Not as colourful. And the only music they have inside the van is on cassettes, and it's the band Rush.
Oh. Nice.
Ooh, super geek. So anyway, they head off towards San Francisco to go to the Skywalker Ranch, which is actually in Marin County, outside of San Fran, in fact. That's where it leaps. And from there, they go to Iowa on their way through, where they come across some trackies, or I believe that's a derogatory term. Trekkies.
Trekkies. Oh, there's Trekkies and Trekkers, depending
trackers
on...
Trekkers apparently is okay.
Okay.
But according to this film, saying Trekkies is wrong.
Okay.
So things have obviously evolved, changed. And they're portrayed as basically the sad end of the sci-fi geek spectrum.
Oh, like just
with
one...
With the latex and, yeah.
One level above the furries?
Whatever they are, Albert, I'm agreeing with you.
If you want to know what furries are, Google it.
Google furries. So they're in Iowa, because apparently that's where James T. Kirk came from.
He was an Iowa farm boy.
Yes. So they're
potatoes? No.
Idaho.
Yeah. Oh, Idaho. Sorry.
Iowa is corn.
Corn.
And crop circles.
Oh, like from Signs.
My own private Idaho is potatoes.
Okay. Yep.
So, and it causes some mayhew. Oh, sorry, typo. I mean mayhem. But you'll know what I mean when I said Mayhew. When visiting a ritualistic unveiling of an outdoor sculpture of a scene of Captain Kirk wrestling with the infamous Khan from the Wrath of Khan, basically the character Hutch, played by actor Dan Fogler, says, "That's not Khan, that's Ricardo Montalban." And what ensues is a fight, a scrap between the trackers and the Star Wars dogs, as they're represented in the film.
Which, the dogs are the cool ones?
No. They... Well,
there
kind
is no
of.
Cool.
There is nothing cool in that galaxy. But, so anyway, the story does transpire that they're journeying through to get to San Francisco, and along the way, just like any road movie, they come across problems and difficulties. Mm-hmm. And one of them is where they actually get arrested, and they spend a couple of hours in jail from getting into a fight with the trackers. And who should be their judge but Billy Dee Williams, who makes a cameo appearance as Judge Reinhold. That's what it says on his little plaque.
God.
It's pretty tacky.
That's brilliant.
Okay. Brilliant but dumb.
Yes.
I think. But funny. I did laugh at that one. And there's other cameos throughout it. There's Kevin Smith of Clarks and Dogma fame. And Seth Rogen appears as a Las Vegas pimp hustler with a mass of permanent skin art.
Oh,
tattoos
nice.
Of Rogue Leader on one arm for the Rebel Alliance and the insignia. And on the other arm, Darth Vader, the dark side on this side, the good side on the Force on the other, with Jar Jar Binks on the back. Although I was perplexed by that, because I believe Jar Jar Binks was in The Phantom Menace, not in any...
No, he was in The Phantom Menace. He was introduced in The Phantom Menace.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is about...
Yes.
Pre-Phantom Menace.
Mm, very
anyway, that was just something I noticed. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there were some illustrations that were released beforehand in 97 or something. I don't know.
Maybe the merchandise went out early.
Could be. They do that now. I know. So, yeah, look, it wasn't the greatest road movie or the greatest funny, haha, geek movie. Revenge of the Nerds still hasn't been beaten.
Okay, yeah.
But it was cool to hear the authentic sound effects from the Star Wars franchise because George Lucas gave the thumbs up. He gave the green light, so they got to use actual footage, not footage, but sound bites from the various Star Wars films. So you do hear when their van is going a bit faster than 30 miles an hour, you do actually hear the sound that the light speed sound from the Millennium, Falcon and makes. The scream that R2-D2 does. If you know The Empire Strikes Back, you'll know what I mean.
That's when he
makes that noise.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That screaming electronic noise. The director, Carl Newman, obviously is a big Star Wars fan. Look, it's a fun ride. Star Wars dogs will love it. Trekkers won't, I don't think, because they're portrayed quite stereotypically. And there is a little bit of homophobia in that portrayal, which was a bit naff. Mm-hmm. Or a bit nerf herder, not really cool at all. Uh-huh. So look, I give it a 3 out of 5 for its wit and its casting of Dan Fogler, who was just awesome in Ang Lee's film that came out earlier this year, Taking Woodstock. So he's one definitely to watch in the short, chubby, furry, sort of male comedic lead.
And that track you heard before those announcements was Frodo, Don't Wear the Ring by Flight of the Conchords. It was a tribute to the biggest thing to come out of New Zealand by the second biggest thing to come out of New Zealand.
Yes. A third would be what?
I don't know. You'd probably be the expert.
A whale.
The whale?
The whale from Whale Rider,
whale,
I reckon.
Whale Rider.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it wasn't a real whale.
Or the girl from the actress
Keisha Castle Hughes,
who actually played the Virgin Mary.
Keisha Castle Hughes.
She played the Virgin Mary in a story, in one of the Christmas stories.
Keisha Castle Hughes.
Oh, what a
try and say that.
What a nice
Keisha Castle Hughes.
Not Keish.
Not Moish. Moisha, no.
Oh, not Lorraine. No.
That brings back memories.
Don't know what you mean.
You're with Sci-Fi and Scream. It's Christmas Eve and we are talking about a few festive things tonight.
Some festive.
Some festering.
Some festering, some spoof. Some more lighthearted things to get you through
the silly season.
Yeah,
silly, stressful.
It's already been stressful enough, I think, without having to go through your Christmas Eve, listening to people taking things too seriously. Forget about that. There have been quite a few Christmas horror films. Now, I don't know if that's just because some people get really frightened at this time of the year, if there's a lot to prey on or...
Prey with an E, to prey on.
Oh. But there have been some really terrible Christmas horror films. I think, Albert, you...
Yeah, Albert,
you had one
them.
That was quite...
Oh, yeah, just doing a bit of research with for the show and how it's part horror, part very, very, very bad slasher movies coming out of the 1980s. One in particular was Silent Night, Deadly Night, which...
Holy Night.
Holy Night. Oh, there was...
They put holes in you.
They put holes. Lots of stabbings and impalings.
It was forgettable, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot it.
Yeah, you forgot it that long
ago. I know
ago.
I've seen it, but I've totally forgotten it. But maybe someone out there likes it.
Yeah, if you have ever seen any of them. So there was 5 of them spanning, you know, I think...
5 years.
5 years. No, probably... There wasn't a release every year, but I think there was kind of the first 3 were released in about...
10 years.
Across maybe 10 years, and then the last 2 were released in 1991.
12 years, 13.
So, and what's the premise of Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Oh, yeah, well, the first 3 of the Silent Night franchise, which did develop apparently a cult following, was...
Amongst three people.
Maybe the director's family and friends. So, yeah. It was quite controversial when the first one came out because, obviously, it was a Christmas-themed horror movie. The villain in the movie was...
Santa.
Basically Santa, yeah. So, a bad man
broke
dressed
the mold.
As...
He
does break into people's houses, though. I mean, that's fair enough.
Yes, yeah, nice. No, so
yeah, breaking and entering through a hole...
Criminal activities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And sure, he puts
putting
stuff there,
children
but what does
on, lap, on his
oh,
lap.
Stealing
lap
people's milk
children.
And cookies.
And cookies and, yeah, and animal. There's also an animal welfare issue with Santa because, I mean, you can't run those reindeer around.
He runs
the
them
world.
Into the clouds.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's just
not
terrible.
The ground.
So Silent Night, Deadly Night, that's something that you might want to check
and
out.
Where can we see it?
Horror.
Where is it playing? I
don't actually know where it's playing. I think
playing at all good video stores everywhere.
Perhaps in the outer realms.
Only be on VHS if you still have a VCR.
Oh, you can have a look for it. Yeah. Bad puns are a very big part of Christmas horror. There's one called Santa's Sleigh, S-L-A-Y.
Oh, okay.
Again, ooh. Santa's the villain in that. I'm pretty sure that's a slasher flick as well. Mm-hmm. There was also a big one from the 1970s called Black Christmas.
Oh.
But my favourite, I think, that I've ever seen is one called Jack Frost. I don't know if anybody's seen it.
Yes, it's about a while ago. It's
a murderer. I think it's a killer who's being transported to another jail or being transported to his execution, and he's involved in a horrible accident which transforms him into a murderous, vengeful snowman.
Frosty man.
Okay.
Of course it does.
With a carrot.
And he does bad things to the local women with his carrot.
It's the carrot. It's disturbing, but it's actually amusing.
It's funny. I laughed at it too, but it was...
After a few eggnogs, anything's funny.
It was horrific to see the kind of things that will come out of people's heads when they're coming up with Christmas horror movies. Turning poor innocent snowmen into
killers
and rapists. Well,
they're weird with those potato eyes and, you know...
The potato eyes.
Rock mouths and carrot noses.
I don't know what sort of snow people you were building in New Zealand, but...
Ones with fully developed genitalia, actually.
Well, obviously, with the carrots. We've actually got your horoscopes for Christmas, or Festivus, as we're calling it. And Sonia, maybe you'd like to kick
us off. I'll start with Jesus' birthday.
Nice.
Because he's a Capricorn. Christmas is a time for family, so go and visit your dear old catatonic grandfather at the mental hospital. But take his frightening truths about Santa Claus with a grain of salt. Saint Nick may know when you've been naughty, but that doesn't mean he is watching you to touch yourself. Touch away.
Aquarius, do a good deed this week. Help a blind woman cross the road. Assist a man dressed as Santa on the side of the road. If he shoots you dead, rapes your partner, and then slits their throat, you can at least find comfort in the knowledge that you have ascended to heaven as a good Samaritan.
Pisces, punishment is necessary. Punishment is good. Abide by this mantra when the nuns at your orphanage beat you with belts and tie you to the bed. They're doing you a favour. You'll grow up to be strong and independent. The chances of you becoming a psychotic spree killer are slim.
Or perhaps you be into certain activities.
Yes, special activities.
Habits, nuns' habits. Aries, you'll be very busy at the toy store you work at during Christmas. Try not stressing too much. Treat yourself. Ask that co-worker crush you have on a date in the new year. Disregard those dreams of you two making Wookiee love together and then being stabbed for your unholy acts.
Taurus, Father Christmas will call in sick this week, so you'll be asked to fill in. But don't let the power go to your head. Feel free to reward all the good little boys and girls with countless presents. When it comes to punishing the naughty ones, keep the impaling and beheading to a minimum.
Gemini, when you hear word of the murderous man dressed as Santa is on a rampage, don't get too trigger-happy. Even vigilantes think twice before shooting every Tom, Dick and Kris Kringle they encounter, even if their cries to cease and desist are ignored. Santa can go deaf too.
Cancer, the mistakes committed by family members in the past do not define you. Take possession of creative and innovative ways of killing people as your own. All you need is a car from the 1980s, Mitsubishi, Toyota or something. Then electrocutions by jumper cables and strangulations by radio antennae will come easy.
Leo, now is not the time to hold grudges against people from your childhood. Air out your grievances during this festive season, whether it be with your brother, cousin or mother superior. Sit down, discuss the past, embrace your religious differences. If that fails, decapitation generally works.
Virgo, the 6-year coma has turned your mind into mush, but a blind clairvoyant girl has finally provided you with a Christmas miracle. Use your mental link to spread the joyous cheer around. Start by killing the drunk Santa impersonator that roused you back to consciousness.
Libra, a visit to your grandmother over the holidays will distract you from your experiments with the comatose serial killer. Granny will be ecstatic to see you. Show your appreciation by bringing along your unfortunate handicapped vagrant friends. The more the merrier.
Scorpio. It has been a long year for you. The body count alone has racked up into the tens, if not twenties. Put your feet up, take off your artificial skull cap, and enjoy the well-earned rest. The impaling with the broken stick wasn't fatal, so there's always chance for a sequel.
Sagittarius. Stuck for plans on Christmas night? Watch the Christmas-themed horror movie Silent Night, Deadly Night. Lather, rinse, repeat. Then marvel at the ease at which you have created your own memorable Christmas tradition that you can pass on to generations to come.
Yes.
And that was just a little bit of a sneak peek into the
next 12 days.
Next 12 days.
Of Christmas.
Christmas? No?
No, it was a little bit of a take on Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, if that sparked your interest, I'm sure you can find it at your local video store.
Or at any good retailer for about $2.99, yeah, in the bargain bin.
Yeah.
We've got a track coming up for you now, and we'll have more Sci-Fi and Scream after this. And we're back.
Yes.
That was Weird
Thanks,
Al.
Thanks, Yoda.
That was Weird Al Yankovic's cover of Lola by the Kinks. And one of Weird Al's best parodies would definitely have to be The Saga Begins, which tells the story of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, and in my opinion is far superior to the film. And it tells that to the tune of Don McLean's American Pie. And the funny thing is that not only does Don McLean approve of the song, he actually has a tendency,
royalties,
when he's performing live, to accidentally sing Yankovic's lyrics instead of his own. Which
royalties.
I actually can't remember how American Pie starts now. I only know a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away.
The Chevy to the levee, and the levee was dry.
Oh, I know the Madonna version, so.
Ugh. Now, stop.
Stop.
Right there.
I'll stop myself, yes. So, to try to get myself into the festive spirit for tonight's show, I kind of trawled through and
it's not very festive, though.
No, it's not very festive. No, but, I mean, I tried as hard as I could to get into the spirit just by finding what Christmas specials they had for kind of TV shows that were of yesteryear. And I came across the, I'm a diehard fanboy of Buffy. I don't know, Caroline is as well.
Yeah, I'm an Angel girl, to
Angel,
be honest.
Yeah,
well, I'm both.
Still like Buffy.
I'm Buff and Angel. Yeah. Angel Buff. Yeah.
So there was only one Christmas episode that they did throughout the seven seasons of Buffy, and Joss Whedon being an atheist, I kind of see why. But the Christmas episode that was in season 3, episode 10, was an episode called Amends. As a bit of background, season 3 focuses on the unexplained resurrection of Angel, the vampire with a soul. Back in season 2, his relationship with Buffy led to them sleeping together. This caused...
Ooh.
Yeah. No, well, she's not a virgin. She's not like Sookie. So, I mean, this is why I love Buffy so much more than I can actually stand True Blood. But anyway, sidetracked there. Him sleeping with Buffy caused his soul, which was given to him by a curse, to be lost, and he again becomes Angelus, a sadistic killer he was before the curse. One of his victims in season 2 was Jenny Callender, a gypsy whose job was to make sure the curse was never broken, which she unfortunately failed to do so. Incidentally, she was also the girlfriend of Rupert Giles, Buffy's watcher. Buffy is forced to kill Angel, which actually happens right after Willow, who got involved in some witchcraft in season 2. She restored his soul through witchcraft. You confused yet? Well, back to season 3. Angel, with his soul intact, magically returns to Sunnydale, but is unsure of both why he's back or who brought him back. In this Amends episode, it is a hot Christmas in Sunnydale, and Angel is haunted with dreams of people he has killed as Angelus. These visions, which include Jenny Callender, try to persuade him to kill Buffy in order to free him from the pain of this guilt. Buffy and Giles work out that the first evil is driving Angel insane. But because the first is a non-corporeal entity that can assume the form of any person who has died in order to psychologically manipulate its victims, Buffy has no way of fighting it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yes. Because Angel cannot bring himself to kill Buffy, he instead decides to kill himself by standing on a hill when the sun rises.
Ooh.
Buffy runs...
Ashes to ashes.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, they try to... the thing about Buffy, they try to follow all the myths and legends behind vampires as truly as they can. There's no
sparkling vampires in Buffy.
No sparkling vampires. Crosses do things and...
And holy water.
Like the Exorcist? Sunlight.
Yes, yeah. No spinning heads, no pea soup vomit, but despite the atheist views of the creator, he still kind of brings forth the Christian mythos that you have surrounding vampires. So when he stands on the hill to expose himself to the sunrise, Buffy runs to the hilltop to stop him, and they have a tense and heartbreaking conversation, which still doesn't convince Angel that he belongs in this world or that he's deserving of Buffy's love.
I've done that.
Run to a hilltop to stop someone from...
No. Bursting into flames.
Bursting into flames. Self-immolation.
Yeah.
Combustion. Yeah. Just before the sun is due to rise, Sunnydale's heat wave ends and it starts snowing. The snow is so heavy and constant that the weatherman reports that the sun shouldn't be expected to be seen at all that day. So with...
It's convenient.
It is a little bit convenient. It might seem a little bit sappy.
Al Gore might have written that, but...
But, I mean, that was kind of the only Christmas tie, the kind of the Christmas miracle that you can tie with the episode. It's not...
And you know that Joss Whedon doesn't save everybody in his shows.
Oh, yes. That's
because
they
break.
Ask for too much money. Is that why?
Oh, well...
He just tries to make it as... I don't know. We've got this... If you're a fan of Joss Whedon's, you'll know that whenever he makes two characters who are destined to be together, when they finally get together, he's going to kill one of them.
He'll kill one
it's
of them.
It's really sad.
He's a bastard.
Like,
yeah,
that really...
separate them.
What kind of messages is he
sending my heart.
Out to people?
Any relationship in the whole of
they're always
Buffy
doomed.
Series, it's just everything so tragic.
Everything in the Whedonverse is
it's
doomed.
Yes. Yeah. But it's kind of realistic, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's just disappointing.
Yeah. So Joss Whedon was the creator. Or he was the writer of the Buffy movie. Yeah. And
he didn't direct it.
He did
the screenplay with one other person.
Shocked at how it turned out. You know.
It caused a bit of a rift between him and the producers.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. But thankfully, he was the creator of the Buffy TV series, and also the writer and director of this episode, which was special because they had an interview with Joss Whedon where he reported saying that this conversation they had on the hilltop was kind of one of the highlights of his kind of writing of Buffy.
Well, it definitely shaped Angel, and it made Angel a standout character. And when he got his own show, the spin-off, naturally.
That was exciting. Like, I actually waited up to watch the Angel
spin-off
series.
That happened at the... Well, that's when he... At the end of season 3 is when he did leave kind of officially.
Right.
And there was also, of course, still a lot of crossover episodes. But after rewatching this episode, I didn't before kind of realize how important this was. You know, I didn't really remember a Christmas episode, but it was so important in the whole development of Angel's character and his storyline. His entire existence as the vampire with a soul before and after this episode has always been plagued with his guilt of his past victims. But he realizes that...
Get over it. Yeah?
Yeah, no, well, it's,
no.
It's kind of a...
Maybe you should visit the families. That's what they do in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, the
families visit him if you see Angel.
Yeah.
It all kind of comes back.
Come on back.
Yeah. So, you know, he realizes from this episode that the only way to make amends, air quotes, is to stay alive and to keep fighting the good fight. Stepping back from the metaphorical cliff edge reinforced this. If he were to give up, then, in Buffy's words, all that he ever were was a monster. It was also quite a significant episode because when you watch Buffy, there's always this storyline arc that carries throughout each season, you know, and from season to season. And it was this episode where it was the first appearance of the first evil, which does not again appear in more than 3 seasons later until Lessons, which is the first episode of the 7th and final season, where it's the final big bad, as they call it.
Awesome
in the Whedonverse.
Season.
Yeah. It was also the final appearance of Jenny Calendar, who was killed off in season 2.
Why?
And a bit of trivia is also first episode of Buffy's first Buffy's Pixie Bangs.
Oh yeah, I don't know that I don't know that I loved that.
It didn't last very long, which was thankful.
Christ, yeah, yeah,
no, it was a bit distracting, but yeah, she's. Oh, I just watching back, 10 years, more than 10 years later of when it was screened, it's like the storyline still kind of really gets to you.
Yeah.
But when I see sometimes, I think the wardrobe out of everyone, I think Willow had the worst.
Oh, Christ, yeah, she had terrible clothing.
But she had comfortable shoes.
Comfortable shoes. She had stripy tops and denim overalls.
But she was comfortable shoe person.
Sort of loose clothing.
Wasn't she? Comfortable shoe.
Yeah.
Or as Graham Norton says, why are you wearing loose clothes? You're growing into them. I love that.
Yeah. So, overall, this episode does deal with some pretty confronting themes, but, the guilt of and regret of the past, feeling like life is too hard, too painful, and how easy it would be just to give up. How everyone is weak, everyone makes mistakes, everyone fails, but realizing that we're still good enough to be loved and that life is still worth fighting for. Aww.
Just like Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Galaxy Quest was a spoof show.
Was it? Mm.
Galaxy Quest was a bit of a spoof film.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Positive though.
That was great. That really brought back a lot of memories for me.
Yeah, it kind of makes me want to watch.
Makes me want to go back and watch Buffy.
I need to see that last episode because I'll never forget I had like about eight friends. Well, I had eight friends back then.
Yeah.
And they all came around and we rearranged the furniture so we could be facing the television, which was the small, 16-inch non-plasma, non-LSD, LCD thing, and watched the last episode and recorded it on VHS. So that's how long ago it was.
An excellent, excellent episode, that's for sure. Well, thanks for that, Albert.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was fantastic. So that's Christmas Buffy style.
Yes. Yes.
But Christmas has been explored through sci-fi, horror and fantasy genres for a little while now. When we have a look at it, I suppose if you have a look at the stuff that you can get at Christmas time, you've got things like all the merchandise and figurines and that sort of thing. I think Hallmark has a full line of Star Trek and Star Wars Christmas cards. Ooh, and tree ornaments.
Speak.
Jar Jar ears.
Yeah. Oh, please burn all the Jar Jar stuff, I reckon.
It's kind of disturbing.
People have written Star Trek Christmas carols as well.
Oh, no.
We're not going to play any of those for you, so don't freak out too much. There was also a Star Wars holiday special in 1978, which I haven't seen. Apparently it's quite hard to get, but it was very badly received. It was set on the Wookiee homeworld.
Kashyyyk.
And quite a few of the stars from the film were in it, but they weren't in it for very long. So contractually obliged to maybe make a brief
cameo.
I'm
sure Carrie Fisher was running out to the bathroom.
I don't know. Who wants to speculate on that?
She won't. She's a great author. I love Postcards from the Edge.
Postcards from the Edge is good and very funny.
And she's
movie.
Actually in Fanboys. I forgot to mention she plays a doctor.
Oh,
so she gets to mix with pharmaceuticals. So cool.
She doesn't have the bikini and the
from Return of the Jedi.
No. She'd be a ridiculous hairstyle.
Oh, and when Jabba was salivating all over her, that was disgusting.
Yeah, and Luke starts fawning over her.
Oh dear, little
incest! Incest. That's just too Mormon to be real.
We've got a track coming up from a band that likes to sing a little bit about Star Wars. We've got a track from Tripod coming up for you.
That's three people.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.